Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Good that you're in Sunday school today. Dreary day outside. It's been but you can have a joy inside. Amen.
Amen.
The outside, the weather should not affect the inside. Even though sometimes it does. It does affect people. And, but you can still have the sunshine in your heart and your life. Amen. How many of y'all feel like you're running behind, trying to catch up with things?
Amen.
Yeah.
Always.
Life, yeah.
Running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah. literally. Funny guy. All right. We're talking about the Jewish people, Romans chapter 2. I recommend people to read the book of Romans and study it because of what you're doing. So the book of Acts is a transitional book. And you're going from law to grace, and we're in grace now. We're thank God for grace.
Amen.
And now I know there's grace throughout the whole Bible, but when it comes to dispensation of grace, it's right now. A person gets saved the easiest of any time period in the Bible, and they can get saved by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the reason why people won't get saved is because of pride. Pride will hinder people from getting saved. Right now is the easiest. Now, we went through the thing about the tribulation period. In the tribulation, it's not going to be easy to be saved. It's not going to be easy at all. In the tribulation, they're going to have to endure to the end, and they're going to have to go through all kinds of hell on earth. You say, why are you going through hell on earth right now? You ain't going through nothing compared to what the Bible says is going to happen.
Amen.
And thank God for a new president. If he does what he says he's going to do, what a blessing. I pray he does. Now, he put a task on his son-in-law. He said this. He said, if anybody can bring peace to Israel, it's my son-in-law. That ain't going to happen. He put a heavy burden on that boy. And the Bible talks about the only way Israel is going to ever have peace is through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Now, there'll be a false peace that's going to come. And I thought about that. I thought about the false peace that's going to come to Israel is going to be through the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to be part Jewish, part Arab. But Paul's writing this to the church of Rome and telling the Jews that, you're not under law anymore. You're under grace. And he kind of defines it and going through the thing. Now, I thank God we're not under law. Because everybody in this room, you broke every commandment, or you broke at least one. The Bible says you offend the law on one point, you're guilty for every bit. You offend that law on one point, thou shalt not covet. You know what you got? You got day in and day out on TV, in malls, everywhere, signs, is calls you to covet. You want a new car. You want a new house. You want this. You want that. It calls you to covet. Thou shalt not covet. It says thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Did you all see the clip where Bill Clinton's sitting there looking at Ivana over there? He's looking at her, and Hillary looks up at him, and she's going. He's checking her out. He's looking across the aisle. And Bill's wanted to be good buddies with Donald so he can maybe talk to his wife a little bit. And but anyway, you got crazy stuff. But it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. A man commits adultery in his heart. And you got the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments already judges us. Now, the Ten Commandments, you say, is that... Now, we're not keeping the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. If it was, nobody would go to heaven. Nobody in this room would make it to heaven. Nobody. And including me, I wouldn't make it to heaven for sure. But we're under grace, and for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift to God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, God gives every man a measure of faith, the Bible tells us. It gives every man a measure of faith to be able to trust his son. Every man's got a measure of faith. And you're supposed to build your faith on a daily basis. The way you build your faith is getting in this book. And you should have a daily devotional time where you're reading your Bible, you're spending time with the Lord somewhere. I mean, some people do it at night. I can do it. Usually we do it first thing in the morning. We study our Bible and pray in the morning, and then we try to do a little bit at night. And Daniel prayed three times a day. The Bible tells us that he prayed morning, noon, and at evening. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Psalms. And you ought to be praying always. The Bible tells us New Testament Christian ought to be praying all the time. I pray if I lose a boat. If I'm out there, God, help me find that boat. God, please help. And then when I do find it, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And you got to pray all the time. But Paul's writing this to the Church of Rome and the Christians at Rome, not the Church of Rome, but the Christians in Rome. And he says, verse 17, he says, behold, art thou a Jew and rest in the law and make thy boast of God? The Jews did make their boast that they were Jewish. They were chosen of God. And God, out of all the nations of the world, God came down and chose Abraham because Abraham was a friend of God, and he made a great nation out of Abraham. And that nation became the Jewish people, the Israel. And God blessed Abraham, and God took care of Abraham. And then the children of Israel reaped the benefits of their father Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and so on. And they were just like the children of Israel, just as wicked as anything, like any Gentile. But they had the law, and God said, here's the law. This is what you got to abide by. And Moses got the law, Exodus chapter 20. And Moses had the law, and they were supposed to obey the law. And they didn't. They didn't obey the law. So God knew that there was going to have to be another system set up, which was we've talked about that, the dispensations. There was dispensation of law about 2,000 years. And then you've got the dispensation of grace for about 2,000 years. And so God set up another system that a man could be saved by grace through faith. Now, the Gentiles, the Bible, Paul's telling the Gentiles, he said, telling the Jews, if the Gentiles do by nature and keep the law by nature, not having the law, he said, they're more righteous than you. And there's Gentiles in the Bible that were saved. They were nations or people that were Gentiles that were saved in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, like I said, I thank God we're living in the New Testament. He says, verse 18, and we'll read on down, then come back. He says, knoweth his will and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, are confident that thou thyself art guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which thou hast formed, has a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teaches another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou preachest that a man should not steal. Doeth thou steal? He's telling him, so you're teaching, the Bible tells us in the law, thou shalt not steal. And he says, thou sayest that a man should not commit adultery. Doeth thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, doeth thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast in law, do through the breaking of the law, dishonoreth thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. And the Jews, you know, they had to be circumcised on the eighth day, every male Jew. And the reason why, because that's where the seed comes from. And we went through this last week that when you got saved, God circumcised you, spiritually speaking. He cut your soul loose from the flesh. He put his seed inside you. And his seed is the word of God. And when you get saved, his seed is inside you. He cut the soul loose from the flesh. That way you can't lose your salvation. And talk about circumcision. And circumcision is cutting away of something, cutting away. For circumcision very profitable if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision maketh uncircumcision. Therefore, if uncircumcision keepeth the righteousness of the law, and that's talking about people that are not Jewish, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it be fulfilled the law, judge thee? Who by the letter of circumcision doeth thou transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but God. So Paul's writing to the Jewish people in the church at Rome. He's saying, If you're a Jew and you've been circumcised and you break the law, then your circumcision is nothing. It's nothing, because you're trying to keep the law and you're trying to say all this thing. I'm a Jew and I have the law and the oracles of God was given to us. He's saying it's nothing, and he was saying it's just stupidity in a sense. So the Gentiles, he said, they don't have the circumcision. They don't have the law. But they do by nature the things which are in the law. He said, they're a law in themselves. So now the law is good. The Bible tells us the law was good, and it is good. Now our laws in America are based upon the Bible.
Right.
It's all based upon the Word of God. I like that the vice president put his hand, his left hand on the Bible. It was on 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it was a Bible that his, I guess it was Ronald Reagan's Bible. And you said, do you trust all that stuff that they said? No, I don't trust. Only one I trust is God. Amen. It's better to trust the Lord for confidence in man. But the Bible tells us that the law was to bring us to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 3. Now, every man has the law written basically in your heart. You say, what happened to the heathen? What happened to the people that never heard? What about the people down in Africa that never heard? All that stuff. And what about people around the world? But I'm going to tell you something. People knew who God was when Noah got off the ark. All three of his boys, that's where all the races came from. All three of those boys knew who God was. Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody didn't tell their children's children, like the Bible says, you're supposed to pass it down to your children. And if your children's not going to follow you, if you're a hypocrite, they're not going to listen to you. And they want to follow somebody that's walking it and living it. And the Jews didn't live it. And when Jesus Christ shows up, he starts preaching to them. And the first thing they want to do is the Pharisees, the religious crowd, they want to kill him. They wanted to kill him because he was putting it on them. And he came to die. But the Bible tells us in Galatians, he says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. He said, if there was a law given that would give him life, see, the law was, it was up to man to keep. And Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. He kept every point of the law. He was innocent, and he died in our place and took upon him the judgment of every man, every woman. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why the sins of the whole world were put on Jesus Christ, because God judged him for our sin. The law judged him for our sin. And man, when you get a hold of that, think about what Jesus Christ did for you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It'll get a hold of, man, it'll change your life. It'll make you think right. But the law was a schoolmaster. Look what the Bible says in Galatians. Verse 20, let's read on down. Verse 22. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our what? See, the law tells us, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's how you know you're a sinner. You know? And I mean, I talked about this last week. You know, Indians, that the white man shows up, and the Indians have a totem pole. And they talked about the great white father showing up on a white horse. So God loves people more than you and I love them. People like to say, well, what about that? But they had law written in their heart, where if somebody stole, they cut their hand off. Somebody messed around with somebody else, why did they kill them? That's what they were doing, the Indians. And they said, where did they get that from? It was in their heart. God put it there. So people all like to say, what about the heathen? What about them? I mean, you know, if we saw this last week in the Bible, in Acts chapter 10, there was a man, he was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. And I think the Bible says he was the Italian band from Rome. And this guy was seeking God and wanted to know the truth, and God's obligated. When a man's seeking God and wants to know the truth, God obligates himself. He obligates himself to tell that man, to show that man, or get somebody to that man to show that man the truth. If you're looking for truth, God obligates himself to give it to you. I like what Eric texted me the other night. He says, in Doc's book, he says, light rejected becomes lightning. What does that mean? I said, when you reject truth, it becomes judgment. When you reject God's truth and you're not looking for truth, you just want to, you know, then God's judgment. The night I got saved, I went outside, I said, God, you blankety blank, and I was cursing him. I said, if you're up there, I want to know. He was obligated to let me know. And when a man wants to know, say, God, are you there? Do you care? Where are you, God? You don't understand what I'm going through. You start calling out to God, he'll start showing you, but it's up to you whether you're going to be receptive to it. You're going to have to look what the Bible says. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. It says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under the what? After faith has come, I'm saved now. I don't have to keep the law to go to heaven, but I keep the law because of, as a testimony. Amen. Or am I a breaker of law? Sometimes I speed. The law says 55, I go 75. So do you. So, well, they'll let me go if I go 70. We all got to figure it out. And we you know, we're lawbreakers. We all are. And you go through Kenton, and it says 25. The lawman is there.
Amen.
The lawman is there waiting to bring judgment on you. So how do you know? He's done it to me. So God has lawmen to bring the law. And, but, you know, then there's a law. The Bible talks about a law, and it's a law that's established that nobody can change. Nobody can change this law. It's there, and it's there to stay. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate on him that teaches in all things. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Brother Squiggy was talking about it yesterday, and we had a men's prayer breakfast downstairs, and he was using that. He said about being not, don't be deceived. The Bible tells you, don't be deceived. Don't get deceived. I mean, you can deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And as a Christian, you belong to God. You're saved. You belong to God. God's not mocked. You can't get away with sin like you used to before you were saved. But nobody really gets away with anything. You don't get away with nothing because God's recording it. And you're going to have to answer for it. Every idle word man speaks, he's going to give account thereof. Amen. Every thought, you'll give account. You're going to give. Now, thank God we're saved. But since I've been saved, I'm going to have to give account for in my bodies what I've done for Jesus Christ from the time I got saved to the time I die. I've got to give an account. My thought life, my words, my hands, my feet, everything. I'm going to have to give account to God for it. Why? Because this body belongs to him now. He's given it back to me. He said, what do you want to do with it? I said, I want to give it back to you, Lord. Because if I run it, I'll ruin it. But if you run it, it'll be right. But every once in a while, I always go, okay, God, I can take over from here. And I always mess it up. So do you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? It's called the law of sowing and reaping. And you can be saved and think, well, I'm saved now. I'm not going to go to hell. I got everything. I mean, but the law of sowing and reaping, you can't change. It's still going to be there.
Yep.
And if you sow good things, you'll reap good things. If you sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. So it's the law of sowing and reaping. So that's why I've been a pastor here 30 years. I want to be faithful in being in church. I want to be faithful doing what God wants me to do. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful on Sunday night. I want to be faithful Wednesday. I want to be faithful in everything I do. I'm going to try to be faithful. Why? The law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. And people think, well, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. It is. Why? Since you've been saved, God's going to hold you accountable for it. And you've got to, you know, look what the Bible says in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It says, let us not be weary. We're kind of, people get weary. Starting out the first year, you got all the bills coming in. You got this and that. You need money to pay for Christmas bills and it seems like every time you turn around, somebody's hitting you up on something, and some unexpected thing comes in the mail, and you go, what in the world, man? as like Eric was telling me yesterday, some things happened in his life, in the unexpected. I was like, man, I thought I paid that thing. You got unexpected stuff coming at you, and be not weary and well done. Just do right.
Amen.
Bob Jones Sr. say, do right, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall. Just do right. You do the right thing, the right robe. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the right road always comes out the right place. And I'm going to tell you something. I know that to be true. The right road comes out. The wrong road always causes a shipwreck, or I'm not shipwreck, but a car wreck. But look here. For he that soweth through his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. Every time we sow to this flesh. Now, you're supposed to take care of this flesh. Why? Because this thing belongs to God. I want to live. Brother Soche called me yesterday. Brother Soche is 80 years old, I think, this year. And Brother Soche's been pastoring years and years, and he called me up yesterday. He said, Brother Allen, you mind if I come up this year, coming up? I said, sure, man, come on. Brother Chandler called me. He said, I'm coming. You want me to come up this year? I said, yeah, come on, man. Let's have a time. Let's do it. And Brother Soche's 80 years old, and he's still living for God. This guy was in drugs in Louisiana, ended up in prison for half his life. And God's, now he's been pastoring, I guess he was pastoring about 30 years, something like that. And he turned it around. But he that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you what? Don't faint. The blessing is about ready to come down the pike, and people quit. And they want to quit. Right now, it's probably in January, it's probably one of the most times where people want to quit. Now, Christmas time, you know, you're kind of, but January comes along, I'm wore out. And if you got family, you got children, you probably know you're wore out. You got babies who'll stand up at night. But let's go back to Romans. Romans. The devil will tell you, just quit, man. Take it easy. He's always telling you, just take it easy. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. He's always whispering, brother. He never gives up. And look at chapter 3. I wanted to show you about this Cornelius and where he was praying, and God was obligated to get the truth to him. So we went through that last week. But let's go to chapter 3 of Romans. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, God gave them, you know, the Bible says, to much is given, much is required. God gave the Jewish people the Ten Commandments. And all the other nations were worshiping idols. They were worshiping animals. And they had many gods. Right now, today, there's nations in this world right now worship many gods. India is one of them. They worship many gods. They worship animals. People are starving to death. And there's, you know, cattle out there. They worship the ancestry. That's what the Indians do. They worship ancestry. People worship all kinds of gods. They worship everything but the true God. The Jewish people recognized there was one God. And when Jesus Christ came, the Jews kept saying, there's only one God. But they didn't realize there was one God in three parts. And when you go all the way back to Genesis, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? He's talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. God made man, every man in this room, every woman in this room, every person ever born, you have three parts. You got a body, you got a soul, you got a spirit. All three, body, soul, and spirit. Your body's sitting here, your soul and spirit's inside you. And the soul is the real you. That's the real you, your soul. And when God saved me, he saved my soul. My flesh is not saved yet. My flesh is still corrupt. So is yours. My flesh hates God. Your flesh hates God. This flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And the only way I'm going to control this man, this old man, the only way I'm going to control it is let the new man reign. The new man inside me has got to run things, not the old man. Every once in a while, the old man takes over. There's a battle going on inside me. There's a battle going on inside you. And the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But there's a battle going on. And what happens is Christians get tired of fighting the battle. I've been saved 40-some years now. And, man, you talking about when I first got saved, and even all the way through, the battle gets a little easier, but then at times, it can, if you mess with sin a little bit, then it gets hard again. And when I first got saved, the battle was raging. Man, because I was, before I was saved, drinking, drugging, man, had all that stuff going on in my life. And, man, and every time I felt, man, my flesh would say, I need a drink. I need drugs. I need something. I need, and my body would start pulling me. And the new man inside me would go, no, no. Amen. And I didn't have enough strength in me because I didn't read the Word of God. And I didn't get fed from the Word of God. I went to church. I started going to church, and then I started getting a little stronger. And then I was crying out to God, God, help me to understand this book. Help me understand it, God. I need it. And I started growing a little bit. My wife would read the Bible to me because I couldn't read. And she would read the Bible to me. And then I wanted to know myself. I wanted to learn to read myself. And man, there was a battle going on. The battle was raging. Every time I got mad, every time I wanted, man, every time something happened in my life, I just wanted to go back. Peter said, Jesus turned around to disciples and said a great, he gave them a hard statement. And he said to them, he said, they all forsook him, except for the 12. And he said, oh, are y'all going to leave me too? And Peter said this. And Peter was a fisherman, an ignorant fisherman. And the guy carried knives. I mean, he knew how to cut things up, fillet things. And he's the one to pull the sword out in the Garden of Gethsemane, ready to kill the servants of the high priest's servant, and he cut his right ear off, the Bible tells us. And Peter was, he reverted back to the old man. He said, we'll fight. And Peter said, Lord, you got the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go?
Hey. Amen.
And then when Jesus Christ was taken, Peter got out there beside the fire, and he's out there beside the fire, and people say, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not. He was mad at the Lord. Why? Because the Lord told him to put the sword up. He said, they that live by the sword shall die by the sword. He was mad. He said, why didn't he let me fight? I wouldn't have let him take him. And he was sitting outside, out there while they were grilling Jesus Christ inside. John was in there. John even came out and said, Peter, there, come on in. Peter said, no, I'll stay out here by the fire. And then a girl came up and said, are you one of his disciples? He said, no, I ain't. And finally, they said, are you one of his disciples? The third time, he says, blankety blank, I said, I ain't. Leave me alone. And the Bible says right that time, the cock crowed. There you go, people. And the Bible says Jesus' eyes turned and looked at Peter. Peter looked at him when he's cussing, coming out of his mouth. He looked at Jesus Christ and went, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. There's a battle going on inside you. And the boy, I tell you what, whoever you feed, Doc used to draw this picture of the white dog, the black dog. He said, whatever you feed is what's going to get the strongest. If you feed the old man all the time, he's going to get strong. If you don't read the Bible, you can't counter that old man.
Amen.
You've got to counter the old man. The old man's powerful. The old man in me is powerful. He wants control. The old man, old woman in you wants control.
Right.
And if you don't feed the new man inside you, he gets weak and he wants to quit. He wants to revert back to the old ways. But the old ways don't make him happy.
Amen.
It can't make him happy anymore. It'll just make you miserable, more miserable.
Amen.
It'll make you so miserable that some Christians, I've seen, heard Christians killing themselves because they can't get over the old man constantly, pulling. He says, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So I will... Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a battle going on. It's raging, man. But the more you get in this book, the easier it gets. Why? Because you're giving yourself some ammunition. You're giving yourself some food. You're giving yourself some strength to be able to fight. I think about when Saul was a fool. Saul came out there when And Jonathan and his son went up and fought these Philistines and took them on and asked God to help them. And him and his sword bearer took on 20 men, just two guys, took on 20 men. That's 10 to 1. And they beat those guys. They killed them. And then he gets down, and Saul says, if any man eats anything, I'll kill him. Before God, I'll kill him. And nobody ate anything. They got weary and weak. And Jonathan came by some honey and took some honey and put it in his mouth. He said it got his eyes open. When you get your eyes open, when you're talking about, you know, you get strength from it. And if you don't read that book, you don't spend time with the Lord, I'm talking about even 5 minutes, man. 5 minutes. If you don't spend time, you'll get weak. You'll want to quit. So back to Romans chapter 3. He says, what advantage have the Jew, or what profit there is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that on the them were committed to oracles of God. God gave the Jewish people the word of God. This book we got in our hand, it's Jewish. It's a Jewish book. But it's for all people. When you read, you say, what's all this story about Israel and all this stuff? Israel, let me tell you this. Israel is the centerpiece. It's the centerpiece of God's world. And when he deals with Israel, and when you, well, that's why I always want to see what's happening with Israel. God deals with the nation of Israel, but then when he's allowed us Gentiles to get in on Sabbath, that's why Jesus Christ died, so the Gentiles could come to know Jesus Christ. And the Jews were, they weren't completely cut out, but we were grafted in. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 11. We were put in because the Jews rejected it. And you think about this. The Jews rejected their Messiah, and they've suffered ever since. They said, when Jesus Christ was brought up before Pilate, and Pilate said, what am I going to do with your king? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. And when you make Caesar your king, God have mercy. And what I'm talking about Caesar is your money, your hopes. Donald Trump got up there and promised a lot of things. Everybody, woo! Joshua showed me one woman that when they pronounced Donald Trump as president, she went, no! No! That's crazy, man. People put all their hope in politics.
That's right.
Now, we wanted to see somebody decent. We had a choice. We only had two choices. Well, really, one. We wanted somebody maybe, you know, get in there, maybe keep, you know what, they were pushing the socialistic agenda so hard that they wanted to make America, bring America down. They want to bring America down even with the rest of the world.
Right. Yeah.
That way the Antichrist comes in and takes over pretty easy.
Yeah.
And Trump got in, and now he wants to make America great again, and all, which, hallelujah, praise God. I'm for it. But anyway, that's not my hope.
Amen.
My hope and trust is in Jesus Christ. And it better be. If you're not, you're going to get let down. You're going to say, he lied to us. You think Donald Trump would lie to you? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm for him. I pray God help him. We pray for Obama. In this church, we don't want to, don't you get up there and think we don't care. We pray, the Bible tells us, commands us to pray for those that are in authority.
Amen.
Kings, for princes and all that. The Bible commands us to do that. Why? So we can live a peaceful life. And, but look back at Romans chapter 3, verse 3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if some of the Jews don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Does it make the faith of God of none effect? He says, God forbid. Yea, let God be true. Every man, and it says, let God be true, and every man a liar. You know, that's some things people have a hard time taking. The Bible says God calls every man a liar. God says, men lie. And people lie for the stupidest things. And some people lie just to cover up a lie, and lie over that lie, to cover up that lie, and all that, so on. It says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. As is written, there is that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. If our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? If God is unrighteous and he's a liar, I tell people, if God's a liar, I've told this to folks many times, dealing with them. I say, if God's a liar, then we ain't got nothing to worry about. If God's a liar. If God's a liar, you ain't got nothing to worry about. God can't send nobody to hell because he's a liar. And he didn't tell the truth, so he couldn't send nobody to hell because he's just like we are, sinners. But God's not a liar. And God doesn't lie. There are 30,000 promises in the Bible. 30,000. Over that. God doesn't lie. And the Bible tells us he doesn't lie. In three different books of the Bible. Now, Brother Dave corrected me. I said three times in the Bible, but three books of the Bible, God doesn't lie. And the book of Deuteronomy, he says it twice. He doesn't lie. And all men are liars, but God's not. Yea, God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if the unrighteousness commendeth the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? If God's a liar, he can't judge the world. For the truth of God hath more abound through my lie and his glory. Yet, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just? Look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. So the Jews need to be saved. You say, what about if the Jews are God's chosen people, are they going directly to heaven and bypass everything and not have to go through Jesus? No, they have to go through Jesus Christ just like you and I. And the Jewish people, even though God's going to come back and fight for the Jewish remnant, they still have to come to Jesus Christ just like you and I do. Gentile or Jew, makes no difference. They have to come to Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus Christ came to the Jew first, and they rejected him. Now, not all Jews. You read the Bible, you read in Acts chapter 3, 2, there's a lot of Jews that accepted him. But we've got missionaries right now in Israel. We've got missionaries, and they send letters home. They cannot proselyte. They cannot pass out tracts like you do in America. They can't do all those things. Why? The Jews will put them in jail and talking about Jesus Christ, just like the Arabs. They'll kill you. And they had the truth first, but they're the only nation in the world that God made a promise to Abraham, and God said, I'm going to keep my promise, and they're the only nation. You read in your Bible, you read about Hittites. There is no more Hittites. You read about Amalekites. There is no more Amalekites. You read about Babylonians. There is no more Babylonians. You read about all these different people that fought against you. They are non-existent anymore. God wiped them out, allowed them to be wiped out, their existence. But the Jewish people, that God took their land away. I was going to show you that this morning. God took their land away and then promised that he was going to give it back, and he gave it back to them after 2,000 years, more, 2,500 years. He gave them their land back. Why? Because God said it. And God kept a promise, and he kept a promise to Israel. So we'll have to stop right there, and we'll come back. Any questions on anything? Any questions? All right, I hope you all understand that.